Anchored. Anchored in the Lord. You know, sometimes our souls, let me say it the right way. Sometimes the Lord has anchored our souls, and we weren't praying for ourselves. But somebody else that knew us, loved us, cared about us, they prayed for us. And the Lord still anchored our souls until such a time where, as the story of the prodigal son goes, we came to ourselves. You know, we recognize and realize, God, I need you. So I thank the Lord Jesus on today that we have the kind of God that won't just wait for me to pray for me. He'll bless me when other folks are praying for me when I'm too foolish to realize that I need him. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you now, Lord Jesus, for this preaching opportunity. Lord, with no form or fashion, just use me as you will to speak your word with clarity and conviction. In Jesus' name, amen. I thank the Lord this morning for the officers and the members of Roanoke-Salem, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a wonderful thing, church family, as a preacher, to have men and women of God behind you that you know are praying for you. I thank him for all you visitors. You are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we want you to know that Roanoke-Salem is home. We know that you have memberships at other locations, but when you walk through these doors, I want you to feel, and we want you to feel, that this is home. Amen. I know when I go to Faithful Band, Brother Evans, Pastor Evans, and the Faithful Band church members, some of whom I've known for 20 plus years now, you all always make me feel like I'm home when I go there. And other churches, I'm so glad. When you come here, no matter where you're from, when you come here, you're home. Amen. That's how we want you to feel. If we'll go to the Word of God in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, and I won't be before you long. On this last Sunday in April, here at Roanoke-Salem, we recognize or we celebrate our youth during the month of April. And I started out the month preaching a sermon that was somewhat geared towards the kids, and I'm going to end this Sunday, this month, the same. But adults, now don't you tune out, because this is for you too. This is for you too. If it's your custom to stand where you worship, please stand. And I know we have some visitors that do. You stand. If it's not your custom, you don't need to stand. And I promise you, we're not going to fall out behind that. We're not going to fall out anyway. Amen. Amen. But we want you to feel like you are at home, so if that's your custom, please stand. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read this from the NIV version. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus, and they asked him, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child and had him stand among them. And then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5, and whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little children who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the sea. And I'm going to stop right there. Verses 1 through 6. Let me go back and just emphasize this one right here. Verse 3, Jesus says, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You may be seated. Just for a few minutes, let us reason together with this thought. The Christ, the children, and the kingdom. The Christ, the children, and the kingdom. The Bible is very clear that Jehovah God loves children. And for this sermon, the purposes of this sermon, I'm defining children as anyone from 0 to 18 years of age, because in this country, in the United States, you're old enough to vote and you're old enough to be drafted into the military at 18. So those who are 0 to 18, I'm 17, I guess I should say, I'm defining you as children for the purposes of this service. I want to remind the children, first of all, how much God loves them. And I want to remind we who are adults, those of us who are 18 and over, how important it is for us to love the children and to try to set a good example for them. But we can also learn from children. You know, sometimes we get grown and we think we know it all and children don't know nothing. And sometimes they know more than we know. And they know more about stuff that's more pertinent in the world today than we know. So yeah, there's a line now. Of course, children, I need to be respectful. I certainly believe in that. But don't take it for granted that just because children are young, that they don't know stuff. Amen. They know stuff. Amen. Matthew 18 begins by telling us that some disciples came to Jesus. These probably included the 12 apostles and others, because Jesus had many disciples. He only had 12 apostles, but he had many disciples. So here is probably the 12, the apostles, and some others. And these disciples, these followers of Jesus, they asked him, who? They said, what person is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? In verse 3, it tells us that Jesus called a little girl or a little boy to come stand next to him. Yeah. Amen. Michaela, I'm going to demonstrate with you. Come here, baby. Stand here just 1 second. So Jesus, you know, called this little girl or this little boy to come stand next to him. And he says to the adults now, if you don't change and become like this little child, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Thank you, baby. You can sit down. Amen. Say that again. Jesus said, if you don't change and become like little children, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. I can imagine for some of those grown folks standing around, Jesus' statement must have rocked their world, Monte. Yeah, that must have really just made some of them flip out. In other words, that statement may have been very troubling for some of the grown folks. Why is that? Because in that time and in that culture, children would not have been given a place of status that's equal to that of an adult. Amen. 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 Was Jesus crazy? He done walked out here in the sun so long, his brain is melted. He done had a heat stroke or something. You talking about elevating children to the same level as that of adults. Unless we grown folks change and become like little children, we will not get to heaven. Well, what about all the good things I do, preacher? Jesus, what about all the good things I do as an adult? What about how I take care of my family? Or I make sure my family has a hot meal, or I wash the clothes, or I go to work every day and then still come home and wash the clothes and cook the food. And what about how I look after this one, and I bake a cake over here, and I'll go over there and give somebody help when they need help? What about all the good stuff I do, Jesus? Doesn't that matter? Not in the way you think it does. It's all right. You're supposed to do those things. But see, those are just acts. That's your behavior. Jesus is not talking about that. He's talking about the spirit man, the spirit woman. Unless in our spirit man, our spirit, unless in our attitude, we become like little children, we won't get to heaven. Here's one of the things I love about Jesus. He tells us what he knows that we need to know. Jesus always tells us what he knows that we need to know. What am I saying? I'm saying that everything Jesus told us is for our good. It's for our edification. And if Jesus didn't tell us, we didn't need to know it. Amen. But he's going to break it down and make it plain right here. Okay, let's keep going. Let me tell you what the Amplified Bible says in verse number 3. Because verse number 3 is the one that says, Jesus told them, unless you become like little children. The Amplified Bible gives us more information. When Jesus says, unless the adults change That means to repent and to turn from their sins. So that's the first thing we got to do. We've got to repent and we got to turn from our sins. That's the first thing. Then he says, when he says adults must be like little children, the Amplified describes children four ways. The Amplified Bible says little children are trusting, they are lowly, they are loving, and they are forgiving. So Jesus is saying to the adults, unless I see those four characteristics, those four personality, those four spiritual traits in you as an adult, you're not going to get to heaven. So let's go into those real quickly. First of all, he says that children are trusting. Think about your own childhood. If you have ever helped raise a child or you raised a child your own, you know how kids are. Kids are willing to trust adults, especially adults that are good to them. Amen. Unless a grown person does something to destroy that child's trust, children will trust us. If we tell our children, our grandchildren, especially when they're between like about 2 and 3 to about 6, 7, 8 years old, if we tell them anything, they'll believe it. And I tell you what, they'll believe it so strongly that if somebody else comes behind you and say what you're saying, so children get mad about that. Yeah. They'll get mad if you say what mama said, what papa said, what big mama said, what my mom and daddy said, so and so. It's got to be the truth. That's how trusting children are. Well, we got that verse of scripture that tells us about trust. But before I get there, now think about you and me. Who do we need to be trusting of? We need to be trusting of the Lord, because we've come to the point in our lives where we know we can't always trust each other. Amen. But we can always trust the Lord. What about Jesus himself? Who did Jesus have to trust? He had to trust his Father. Because don't you know that before Jesus went up on that cross, don't you know that Jesus was struggling? I don't have to guess about it, because Veronica, the Bible says he did. Bible says he got there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just before he let the men come and the Roman soldiers take him, Jesus was struggling within his spirit. But when he made that statement, Father, not my will, but thy will be done, that was demonstration. That was proof that Jesus trusted his Father. Because his Father had already told him, son, go on up there. They're going to do this to you. But I promise you, 3 days later, I'm going to raise you up with all power entrusted in your hands. So as adults, we got to be like children, but we got to learn to trust the Lord. That's why Proverbs 3:5-6 says that we are to trust the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge the Lord and he will direct our paths. Secondly, children are lowly. Another word for that is humble. Another word for lowly is humble. Now, for the most part, children are humble in the early years, or at least they used to be. They used to be. It's not so much like that anymore, because you go to YouTube, you cut on TV right now, you see some 4, 5, 6, and 8-year-old kids being just as grown and sassy as they can possibly be. But that's our fault as adults. That's not on them. That's on us. But for the most part, children are humble. Here we go. Jesus was this world's greatest example of humility. And he's being crystal clear. If we humble ourselves before the Most High God, he will bless us. In Matthew 23:12, this is from the Amplified. Jesus says, whoever exalts himself with haughtiness and empty pride shall be humbled, shall be brought low. But whoever humbles himself, whoever has a modest opinion of himself or herself and behaves accordingly, that person shall be raised to honor. So that's the second thing Jesus is telling we adults, that we got to be like children. We got to be humble. We got to be humble. Bible tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we should. That doesn't mean you can't be proud of yourself. That doesn't mean you shouldn't want to look good. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get satisfaction when you work hard, Natasha, and accomplish something in life. By the way, y'all know that child, that you, I should call a child, that grown woman speaks fluent Cantonese Chinese. Fluent. I can't even speak English right. And she speaks a language that Most of the people, the largest population in the world, but most of us don't speak it. She had to work for that. She didn't just go to school and they gave her that. When she got in that class, she had to work. So she should be proud that she's getting ready to graduate. Andrew should be proud of what he's accomplished in his life. But be humble. Be humble. Be humble. Man, even, what's the rapper's name, my man? What's his name got that song, Be Humble? Kendrick Lamar. Yeah, my favorite rapper that y'all don't need to know. He's my favorite rapper because he got some songs y'all don't need to know. I love me some Kendrick Lamar, but he say some things ain't for me either, not for everybody. But he has a song called Be Humble. You got to be humble. That's all Jesus is saying. Humble yourself before who? Before man? No. Humble yourself before God. Recognize that without God, we are nothing. I don't care how much, as my grandmama would say, how much education you got. I don't care how much money you have in the bank. I don't care how big your house is. I don't care who your mama was, who your daddy was. I don't care if your great-granddaddy did put the first dollar down to build Roanoke Salem Missionary Baptist Church. You still have to humble yourself before God, because whoever you think you are, you would be nothing without the Lord. Let me keep moving. Children are loving. Children are loving. If you want to see God's agape, God's unconditional love in action, just look at how children love. Little children are especially able to love people and things that teenagers and adults might call ugly or worthless. Y'all know the child that has that old ugly teddy bear? That old ugly stuffed dog. Dog so old and dirty, ain't got but one eye. Tail torn off. And of all the toys that child has, that's the one that child will love the most. Children can look past that in us as adults. Children can look past our ugly attitudes, our ugly behavior, and still find the capacity to love us in spite of ourselves. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. He says a child's capacity to love is so great, you can even harm children, and they'll still love you. And I don't understand it. It's got to be God. Where's Miss Paula? Miss Paula was here. Did she leave? Miss Paula works for social services, and she'll tell you something. Vicky knows, some of you all work in law enforcement, school system, y'all know, children come to school who are abused in the setting that they live in. And yet and still, they still love those mamas. They still love those daddies. They still love those folks who most close to them, even when they are abusive. They don't have to be physically abusive. They could be emotionally abusive. They could be verbally abusive. But children still love them. That's the type of love that only can come from Jesus Christ. Well, that's what Jesus is saying to us adults. He's saying, we got to learn to love like that, because that's the way that Jesus loved. St. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says, a new commandment I have given to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Who has more love than Jesus? Who has more love than Jesus? See, Eric, we can easily talk about how good Jesus loved us when he went on the cross and died. Okay, that is the ultimate sacrifice, right? But what about Jesus loving you and me right now? What about all that stuff that we still think that we don't say out loud, but Jesus knows? Because the Bible says he can read our thoughts. We're not always lovable right now. We sit right here at Roanoke Salem. We look good. We're cleaned up. We smell good. And sometimes we still have some rotten thoughts. We still say some rotten words. We still have some rotten behavior. And Jesus chooses to love us in spite of ourselves. Amen. So who has love any greater than Jesus? And he's saying, and I just read it to you. He said the same way, Reverend Clark, that he's loved you, you got to love me. Yeah, I might be hard to love. And listen, some folk you got to love from a distance. Amen. Amen. Now, let's go on and be for real, for real. Some folk you have to learn to love from a distance. But Brenda, you still got to love them. You still got to love them.
You can't be praying the Lord to let them fall sick, let them fall dead, let them lose their job, let them lose their home. You can't be praying that stuff on for. You can't be wishing that stuff on for. Why? Because when they do, Jesus might send them to your door. So since you wouldn't pray to help them, now I'm going to make you help them. Amen. Jesus says we have to love like children, unconditional love, agape love. If you want a real good definition of what it is, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You'll find a definition of what that kind of love is. Fourth thing, Jesus says, children are forgiving. Children are forgiving. I believe the main reason children can love unconditionally, the main reason I believe they can love unconditionally is because they can forgive unconditionally. Ain't that just like Jesus? Didn't he forgive the Pharisees and the Romans for putting him on that cross? We know he did. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I just got through talking about examples of it. Doesn't he forgive? Didn't he forgive you and me? That's why we got saved. Because what if I got on my knees or wherever I was when I got saved? What if I said, Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And he said, you lying. You don't mean it. I ain't going to forgive you. You lying. You come back in 2 or 3 days. You come back in a week. And when I know your attitude is right, I'll forgive you then. He didn't do that. He didn't put any barrier or any conditions on you and I being saved. He said, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and I'm just, and I will forgive your sins, and I will cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Amen. The Apostle Paul said these words in Colossians 3 and 13 from the NIV. He said, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. And then Paul put the punctuation on it. He said, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Four characteristics of children. Jesus says we adults need to be like them. We need to be trusting, trust him. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. We need to love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our minds, all our strength. Then we need to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And then he said they need to be forgiven. We need to be forgiven. I'm gonna say this, and Lord knows, Holy Spirit, if I don't say it, I'm afraid I might not make it out of here. Some of us, even in the church, we got to stop being so touchy. I'm just leaving it at that now. Got to stop being so sensitive and thinking and so quick to think negative about somebody's intents. Got to stop now. Got to stop. Because if you don't stop, God's going to deal with you now. I'm telling you. Because, see, here's the thing. And I bet you, I know Brenda and Gloria and Monte and Evelyn have heard me say this. And some of y'all have heard me say this too. No matter how upset I get with anybody, and people get upset with me too, God knows they do, sometimes for good reason. But no matter how upset I may get or irritated, I try to come back to a place and the Holy Spirit will remind me, but what about what I forgave you for? See, so I'm willing to try. This is the key word, sis. I'm willing to try to give everybody benefit of the doubt. You know why? Because I want folks to give me benefit of the doubt. See, I want somebody to give me benefit of the doubt. Let me get more to the point. Let me make it churchy. I want the Lord to continue to forgive me. So I can't walk around with bitterness and have a hard heart against you. Now, it may take me a while to get so I can speak again and we can show enough, be good with each other again. But I got to get there. I got to get there, Monte. I got to get there, Evelyn, because that's what the Lord said. He said, I got to do it. So I'm saying to us as church family, all of us, not Ronald Salem, all of us, next time you get upset about something somebody says or does, and I'm not saying you don't have a reason, but before you get too deep into your feelings and get into righteous indignation, Just take a deep breath and say, but Lord, what about me? Lord, you know what? I want to be mad. I want to be mad with Hambone. But I think about how good you are to me, Lord. And I think about how many times you've used Hambone to bless me. Now, so Hambone and I go back years, and he's been a brother in Christ. He's been a father figure. He's been a mentor. And one little thing, I'm going to get mad, and I'm gonna break fellowship with him. And it could just be a misunderstanding. See, first of all, a lot of times it's just a misunderstanding. But because we want to believe the worst about folk, we don't even try to figure out if it's possibly just a misunderstanding. Now we go there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew she would like that. I knew he would like that. Won't nothing to him, no way. Better stop. Jesus says, better stop. Let's go back to the scriptures. We're going to be finished in just a minute. Verse 4. Go back to this Matthew. Verse 4. Jesus goes on even further in expressing how adults need to be like children if we want to go to heaven. He says that a child is the greatest person in heaven because a child is humble. Then he says, if adults will humble ourselves like children do, we will also be the greatest in heaven. Now that's a heavy statement, because you know God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, once Jesus comes back, they're gonna all be around heaven, right? Their presence is there now anyway. So you saying that we're gonna be greater than them? No. He's talking about those creatures that God created. See, Jehovah God has no beginning and he has no end. But he created the angels and he created human beings. So God is saying that if we humble ourselves, amen, like a little child, he's saying that we will be considered greater even than the angels in heaven, because we humble ourselves before the Most High God. If you know anything about God, you know he doesn't reward or promote or elevate us based on what we think is important. Amen. Amen. Anybody else have that testimony? God doesn't do stuff the way we think he ought to do it. Amen. Amen. He said, that's why he said that a leader has to be the servant of all. He said those who are considered the least will be considered the greatest. He said not by might, nor by power, but by his spirit, things will get done. There's more evidence about how important children are to God in verse 5. Verse 5, Jesus tells his disciples that anyone who is kind and helpful to a child in his name is the same as being kind and helpful to him. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that remind you when Jesus said that whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done also for me? So that's the same kind of thought, that you need and I need to be willing to help folk regardless of who they are or who folks say they are or who they think they are. If the Lord puts it in your heart and mind to help somebody, help them, because you don't know that it may be the Lord himself testing you to see what you'll do. Verse 6, Jesus says, if we mistreat a child, amen, get ready to get heavy now. If we mistreat a child, particularly a child that believes in him, we're better off drowning in the sea with a heavy millstone around our necks rather than to face the wrath of God. This is not talking about mistreating a child with corporal punishment. Let me be very clear. This is not talking about if you spank a child's bottom, because some folk have gotten caught up in this thing now. You can't touch a child, because if you spank them, you're going to damage them. If you don't spank them, they're going to damage you if they need it. Now, I've said this before. Corporal punishment, spanking is not my first thing. Some children, you can just say, stop that. Do this. Some children, you can take privileges from them. But some children, every once in a while, need some heat on their bottoms. Yeah. The Lord himself said, if you spare the rod when it's needed, you will spoil the child. So he's not talking about mistreating a child. When he says mistreat a child, he's not talking about corporal punishment. He's warning us as adults not to knowingly lead a child into thinking or speaking or behaving in a sinful manner. That's what he's talking about. We've got to be careful about how we interact with children. Amen. We have to be mindful about what we do in front of them. They see what we do. And whatever they see us doing, that's exactly what they're most likely to do too. I will close by reminding the children how much God loves you. Jesus doesn't compare you to any other person. He loves you just as you are. I want you to know that you can talk with Jesus anytime, anywhere. Amen. Jesus is always waiting to hear your voice. Jesus wants to help you with everything that happens in your life. Family, friends, bullies, school, hobbies. Jesus cares about everything that's important to you. If you're old enough to understand right and wrong, then you're old enough to ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and be your Lord and Savior. And finally, for the grown folks, let's be willing to examine our own attitudes. Let's be willing to examine our own behavior compared to what Jesus said. Adults, if we're not trusting, if we're not humble, if we're not loving, if we're not forgiving, like little children, Jesus said we will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. But here's the good news. If we're not living the way we should, we still have time to get it right. Amen. I know that's right because God gave us this day, and we can ask God to forgive us and transform us into the people he wants us to be. If we get our minds right, our attitudes and our actions will follow. Say that one more time. If we get our minds right, he said, renew your mind, transform your thinking. We get that right and be more godly, then our actions and our attitudes will follow. Young or old, we can't be people of God. We can't be the people he wants us to be without his help. So let's cry out to God today and ask him to begin to make some positive changes in our lives. If you're doing good, that's great. You can do better. If you're doing bad, you can do good. You just start where you are. Don't compare yourself to anybody else's journey. You just start where you are and ask the Lord to pick it up with you from there. Amen. God the Father has already proven how much he loves grown folks too. That's why he sent his only begotten son, Jesus the Christ, to die for the sins of everybody in this world. And Jesus kept saying that unless you become like a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. If there's a kingdom, there must be a king. Amen. There is a king. His name is Jesus. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the bright and morning star. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Lamb of God. He's my water in a dry land. He's my food in a starving land. He's my everything. He's the one that woke us up this morning. He's the one that brought us to church this morning. He's the one that's keeping our hearts beating right this morning. He's the one that's keeping our minds regulated right this morning. He's the one that died for our sins. So that we might have right to eternal life in the glories of heaven. If Jesus Christ has ever done anything for you, and you're not ashamed or embarrassed to let the world know, come on, give him a hand clap of praise this morning.